Welcome to the Club 937 podcast. I'm Jay, the producer, and this week we're sitting down with Pat Rennie to get a look inside the local Baltimore hop scene. But before we get into all of that, huge announcement, club937.com is now live. You can go there, check out our social media, see our newest episode, and even buy some merch. So head over to club937.com after listening to this episode, see what we've got going on. And with all of that being said, let's jump into the conversation.
I'm super excited for this guest tonight because I was listening to a couple tracks earlier today, and it's way out of our wheelhouse, Tez. It's way out there for us, you know? Yeah. It's not our normal style, and I think this is a cool thing for us to do and keep doing. So I'm digging this. So what do we got going on?
All right. Well, man, just like it's probably going to be the last couple guests that we get that I just put the word out on Facebook. And it's really, man, you know, one thing that I hope when I put the word out is that you get a bunch of people that are even if they're confused about their art, like just want to come on and give clarity, get some answers, have a conversation about what they do. If you really believe in it, a conversation is nothing. It's music. Music speaks so many different languages. My guy, Pat, answered the call, man. That's simple. Like, really answered the call. I hit him up. You know, we was trying to get him on before Christmas, but, you know, with the setbacks with the other guests and stuff like that, you know, we made it, we had to push him back a little bit, but man, he stuck through, kept in touch, and here we are, man. So let's go ahead and introduce yourself so we can give you them applause, my guy.
Thank you guys for having me. It means so much.
Yeah, no worries, man. No worries. So tell everybody your name. And
his name is Pat. I got Pat so far. Let's keep going.
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, so my name is Pat Rennie. I'm from the Baltimore music scene. Been in the music scene for a very long time. You know, just came out with an album called Driven last year. Was a very successful album release show back in April. And now I've just been, now that starting 2024 with a bunch of new shows lined up and everything like that, and also some new music, which I'm so excited for everyone to check out.
Cool.
Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's awesome. So wait, but Tez, what's the avenue though? You didn't say, like, Pat hollered at us about trying to go on the show. We're trying to get him before Christmas, blah, blah, blah. What's the avenue that people are finding us at? Where?
Mainly, it's in the Facebook music group. What is it called again? Is it Maryland Music or something like that?
It was one of those. It was one of those Facebook groups. I just remembered around that time, I wasn't like, you know, I had my last show. Wait, I hit you up like around like October, November, something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And, I remember I finished like my last show in October and I was like taking a little break for the holidays and everything like that. So I figured, you know, having a nice podcast interview would be a great way to just introduce myself and, you know, show what I'm about and everything. So.
Sure. And it's another avenue. And a lot of times when you're doing your music, there's not too much where you get to talking about, you know, your music, your style, the information about you, all that kind of thing. Like that's very important information that people should know, not just your music, not just to hear it, but to hear you.
Absolutely.
Period.
I think it's also, you know, building your community, because like as much as like, you know, you're a fan of the musician, like, you know, it's important to show who you are as a person as well, to, you know, build.
Sure.
Right. So let's start at the beginning, you know? So like, what got you into music in the first place as a kid?
I was like listening to your typical, like, you know, like 90s boy bands at the time, like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. I would just like be singing to all the, you know, 90s boy bands and everything like that. But what really got me into like wanting to learn an instrument, you could say, like getting actually where legit said I want to be a musician. It really had to do with the Do you remember the movie School of Rock with Jack Black?
Yes, dude. That's a fantastic film, dude.
Yes,
fantastic.
I remember being that age going like, oh my God, like it's so cool seeing these kids start a band and everything like that. And I remember I wanted to get a guitar and learn how to play and everything like that. So I kind of bugged my mom and got, you know, one of those cheap Costco starter ones, you know.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that's like what made me really want to, you know, probably
wait, electric guitar, electric or electric, acoustic?
Like one of the Costco Fenders.
You started on electric, my man. Good job. Started on Squire. Well, yeah, good man, good man.
Yeah, thank Jack Black for that. But it was also a lot of the bands I was listening to at the time. But at, like you said, like chronological order, like I'll get to that later. But, you know, after a few guitar lessons and a few jam sessions listening to my favorite bands, I was like, yeah, I want to be a musician. So, and it really wasn't until like I remember a few middle school classmates and I, we had our middle school dances and everything like that. And I was like, I was your shy kid. I was never really the popular kid in, you know, back in the day. I was always like the shy kid that no one really wanted to talk to and everything like that. So when we had our eighth grade dance and then I was playing, you know, covers like 1985 or Stacy's Mom, the kids would be like, wait, Patrick sings? Wait, what's up? Like Patrick sings, like since when do you sing? Since when do you play guitar? It was like, so that was like one of the moments where I was just like, holy crap, seeing my classmates respond very well to it and seeing that I perform, I was like, okay, I want to do this forever. So that's like the real starting point of, yeah, I want to be a musician. You know, I don't want to be like anything.
There you go. There you go.
I don't want to be anything else but music.
I would like to clarify something real quick because I'm trying to do the math in my head. So you were
I know what you're gonna say. I'm gonna say 24.
See, 24. I'm going late 20s, early 30s. How old are you?
I'm going 21. 21.
I'm actually 31.
Damn,
we were
Jay with the winner, man. Jay with the winner, man. I was going younger, man. I was going younger. Shit.
Nah, School too, Rock came out in 2003. Those kids were around 10 years old or so. And
we were around the same age group around the time. Yeah. So,
well,
that's cool, man. I feel like you,
I was pretty drunk when I saw. Oh, my God. I was pretty drunk. So I was a little bit older, you know? We were like a little bit older than you, bud.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Great film, though. Great film.
Just a little bit. That you have your connection with music, more of a, I don't want to say spiritual, because it's not really spiritual, but it's more of a personal connection that you have. So what is your inspiration for writing?
Inspiration?
Because I could tell... The song that I heard, I can't remember the name of it, but you had the girl in the video.
Is this goodbye?
And it was like,
is this goodbye? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah, dude. Like, yeah, dude.
That, you video, could tell that dude. There was some emotion there. That came off of emotion. That wasn't just something you just come up with.
Yeah.
Right.
I say the inspiration when it comes to writing, it's one of the things that is the biggest advice I would give to a lot of artists that want to do original music and everything like that is like, just live life. Like, that's just like the main thing that I would say is just like, live life. The real inspiration is like, you can't just write a song and, you know, not have any inspiration, whether it's like, you know, your love life or your personal life or like, you know, your mental health and stuff like that. It's like really important to just like live your life and just like write about it. Cause that's the only way how you'll find inspiration, mm-hmm. you know? That's just the best thing I could say. Like when it comes to my writing, I just basically write how I'm feeling, you know, at that very moment, whether it's like, you know, if it's a temporary feeling or if it's like something that I know it's like, you know, hold on forever. It's like, I know that if it's something that I know that I have to write about and I want the world to hear about it, then yeah, I put it on my notes on my phone and it starts off with a notepad and a guitar, really. That's literally how it starts, and it goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To me, it's like a journal entry.
Absolutely.
It's almost like a daily journal entry, but you're writing in a style that you're putting to pop music. You know, so it's dope, man. It's really, really cool to kind of. Your writing style is living your life as it happens. Yeah,
just living as the current, like, you know. Like when some people listen to "Is This Goodbye" and then they're like, "Wait, who's the girl I hurt you?" And I was like, "Oh, well, wait, no, that I wrote that song 2 years ago before it was a release, so you guys don't have to worry about that." Like that's another thing too. Like, you know, these people are not, you know, really like people don't really realize like how many months these albums really take to make, especially being a local artist and everything like that. So like my current album took about 15 months to make, actually. It's like something that not a lot of people knew about.
Right. So this is a good time to get into your process. Like, okay, you want to be a musician, you learn how to play the guitar, you want to start taking things to the next level. Like your process, we know that you're writing. So do you record on your own? Do you source out for beats? Do you go to the studio? Like what's your process for actually making your record?
Shout out to my producer who I've been working with since my third EP, Tony Corelli. I've been recording at the Deep End Studio. I had two EPs in the past before I recorded with Tony, but like during the pandemic, I was like reflecting on what have I done in the music scene that's like, you know, did I do much? Did I do nothing at all? Like, you know, I think at least for me personally, I mean, like lockdown made me reflect on a lot of things. And I told myself that, you know, once lockdown is over and I'm out to do whatever I want, that I would take music a lot more seriously. That was like the first thing that came to my mind. And I knew that I wanted to record with Tony Corelli because Tony just had that sound that I was like looking for, and he could help crystallize that sound that I was looking for. So when I recorded the Best in Me EP, that's actually what really started, you know, the whole snowball effect into the Baltimore music scene. If I'm being completely honest, it really had to start with like, you know, recording at the Deep End Studio. I mean, like, yeah, the first two EPs before that, you know, they were... like they did help me get started, but I was never really into the actual music scene, you could say. I was just like, you know, playing open mics and, you know, just playing, singing, whatever was available. But it was the third EP that really got me playing shows like at the Wrecker and other venues, so on. So.
Well, okay, gotcha. So you say the third EP. So this producer, was he actually like helping you write the material? Like, was he like coaching you kind of on how these songs would sound and that's what got you to the next level? Or was it just you got in by association because you kind of got introduced to the scene through this producer?
A little bit of both. I mean, he did show me some, he did give some tips on like, you know, who to contact and everything like that. But he also directed the songs he actually was doing his role as a producer, really, to like
right.
guide these songs, make them stand out to how I originally wrote the songs. Like, you know, he really challenged me, thinking, oh, you know, this, you could sing this note. And then sometimes when we would be in the vocal booth, I would be like, I never thought that would hit the notes that I, you know, that I like, basically like when I was like originally wrote the song, like I never thought that I could hit those notes and everything like that. That's just something too, like, you know, he challenges me, which is what I need, you know, when it comes to putting out a great record, I think.
I have done deep sessions with the producer that I use, and it's wild. Like, we'll do a couple days, like we'll lay down like band tracks and all this stuff, and it's just kind of like a big rager for a couple days. It's like exhausting, but then it comes down to like doing vocals and all that afterwards, and yeah, you kind of hate each other for a little bit, and yep. then yeah, you know, and then you kind of love each other for a little bit, and you know, there's a lot to it
dealing
with a true producer.
This point to where we are and how long we've been working with our producer, challenges us
for sure.
He was challenging us from the get go, man.
Man, that's the point. I think that is the job, you know, of the producer is how to many challenge
time, you know, yeah. How many times I had to sing the same line over and over and over again, and I hated him until I heard the take that he said was good mixed in, and I was like, I kind of love you.
Exactly. That's how I feel every time I'm in the studio, because sometimes, like, you know, we would come in with a song and then he would read the lyrics and then like completely, like, you know, I wouldn't say rip it apart, but, you know, he was just like, you know, completely challenged me with some certain verses and everything like that. And I love that. Because, like, you don't hear it at first when you write the song, but then when you hear the actual recording, you're like, basically what Jay said. He's like, oh, I love you right now.
That's somebody that cares about their craft. Any producer just go out here, push record, and that's it. And you pay them their money, and you know, you're going to get whatever you're going to get. But a real craftsman gonna tell you, hey, bro, that ain't gonna work.
Absolutely.
Nah, that ain't gonna work.
Yeah, like I think I mean, in my humble opinion, I think a shit producer is one that only works with the engineers producing the album. Like, doesn't really contact with the band. It's just like the band's recording, whatever goes into that board, he's working with the mixer, right? And just like making sure it sounds radio quality, or it sounds indie, or it sounds whatever, like whatever your genre that you're going to pick. So that's the process. But I think if a producer works with the musicians themselves and kind of acts like a shaman, like a guide, like some kind of like resource for these musicians, I think that's the true way.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. It's because
that's where the money's at. That's where the money is at.
When it goes to records and it goes to music, a producer gets a point, right? So however many units that song or album moves or whatever, that producer gets a point. So the more quality of work, like especially when you're dealing with your Kanye's or your Jay-Z's or your whoever else, the better sound of that song, you know what I mean? We can name a whole bunch of artists that have these killer songs. One songs, but the production on them joints are killer. But then you can also go against the grain and name some songs that you could tell where the producer was just like, I'm gonna just go ahead and push record and you know, listen, because whoever let Kanye put out Poop Diddy Scoop, bruh.
No, but Kanye is a producer, dude. That's where he
had somebody else.
That's what it is.
He had somebody else. Yes,
no.
He did. He had help. Dude, I'm telling you, he had help on that album.
Kanye did not have any help doing that song, bro.
Was one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. When you can write a song about
He may have had button pushers.
No, that's
but he did not have anybody giving actual input.
Dude, Kanye doesn't let anybody do anything.
All right.
Ever. All right. Like, that's like what he does is just doesn't let anybody do anything. That it's like including his wife.
Jay. get your composition out. And for the next no guest episode, we're gonna talk about Kanye's music.
No, fuck that. We should listen to the whole like Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Oh my god.
Or something.
The new joint?
We'd get sued.
No, the old one, the Dark Twisted Fantasy, like the one. The good one, like the best one, you know, like prime Kanye, you know?
All right. So yeah, that's whatever. Put a note on that. That's for then. But let's get back to Pat. Because
all right.
My guy got hella hits, bro.
So we made it to the production and the introduction to the Baltimore scene. This is a good time before we go into the future. We always do like a Mount Rushmore sorts, right? So like now you are where you are. You're in your scene. You know, you've got your voice. You've got your brand, right? If you could build a Mount Rushmore with four faces on it, who would your four faces be for your musical influence?
Oh my God, I never got asked that question before. That's a really good one. Wow.
Yeah, four faces, dude. They're your
faces. Let's see. One of them would have to probably be maybe Jay Park, because like he's like one of the biggest inspirations behind the next album that I've been recording lately. Jay Park for sure. Probably have to use Keshi as well. He's like another one of current pop music that, you know, is like killing it right now. Gotta add a female because, like, you know, also because she's like my main music crush and she's super talented. I would have to put Chrissy Costanza from the band Against the Current right there. Oh my God. They were so good live. And probably, you know, one of my biggest pop inspirations would have to be Jesse McCartney, just because, like, you know, a lot of my music inspiration comes from, you know, his style of music ever since I was little. So, like, you know, that would have to be my four right there. Keshi, Jay Park, Chrissy Costanza, and Jesse McCartney.
Dude, congratulations. I don't know any of those people. I don't know any of them.
I know
Jay.
Who Jesse McCartney is. I know who Jesse McCartney is. And the only reason I know who Jesse McCartney
help,
is
Jay.
Because
help.
He was on... Yeah. Wasn't Jesse right. McCartney on the Disney Channel?
He was on The Sweet Life of Zachary Toshi, and he was on Hannah Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was and also he on it. All My Children.
Yeah, he was.
And he did an episode of SVU.
Did he?
Yep.
That's how Tez knows him. That's how Tez knows him totally from SVU. You got me, bro.
You got me on that, bro. That's my shit,
dude.
But all right,
I was half expecting Tez to pull some weird reality show episode.
Well, man, like it's like you, Pat. You've proven to me how out of touch I really am, man. I'm actually behind, you know. So Jay, do you have these people pulled up?
I've got Jesse McCartney. I was pulling them up as he was saying them, but then
I want to check out the band. What's the band that the girl is in?
Chrissy Costanza from the band Against the Current.
Against the Current, dude.
So while y'all look that up, the first dude you said, is that a local artist?
Jay Park? No, he's a Korean pop artist.
K-pop. He's a K-pop guy. All right, so I'm pulling up Against the Current now. I see them. Three-piece band. Okay, cool. Oh, dude, I'm going to add that.
They're Against the Current's album, Past Lives, was a very synth-pop record. And it's actually what inspired a lot of my Driven albums, like sound. Like songs like Is This Goodbye, Empty Highway, What Happened to You? A lot of them were Against the Current inspired, actually. So Chrissy Costanza, if you hear that, you know.
Heck, holla.
I actually told her that I met them back in May last year, and Chrissy was so beautiful in person. I just gotta say that.
Woo! Wait, where did they play, like a record or something, or what was the venue?
And then I gave them I gave them a copy of my album, I'm like, because you know, why not, you know?
Wait, you went up to him with the record and was like, listen to this? That takes balls, man. That takes serious balls. Yeah, good for you, man. You know, good for you for like putting it out there like that. Okay, so we got this Mount Rushmore thing. Jay, did you look up anyone else? Well, what's the second
his
one?
His name's Keshi. Keshi.
K-E-S-H-I, right? Keshi. American singer and songwriter. 29 years old. Full name Casey Long.
Keshi.
That's all I got.
What's his social security number, Jay? Hook me up with his social real quick. All right, cool. I got Keshi pulled up too. Wow, Keshi's
he's intense looking, man.
Yeah, Keshi's intense looking, man.
I would not want to
guitar lace pop lo-fi hip hop. I dig that.
That's cool.
That's a great mixture. Absolutely. Right there, man. Well, you know, Pat, a lot of people we've been talking to on this show, most people probably at this point, got formed during COVID or found themselves during COVID or something. So you're definitely in the crew with us there, as far as it kind of shook everything up and kind of made you, it forced everybody to look inside, you know, you're like forced with your own internal self. So for a lot of musicians, it did a lot of really cool stuff. And I include you into the club on that one, bud.
To add on what you're saying about why I feel like that is because I feel like, you know, the one thing that musicians were missing was they just miss performing. They miss live shows. They miss all of that. So it felt like, you know, we all kind of woke up. We're like, wow. I mean, like if we had a chance to, you know, perform again, like, you know, we'd take music a lot more seriously. At least that was my take on, you know, like during lockdown and all the other stuff going on, because it was a tough time for musicians around that, you know? Mm-hmm. And like I said, mm-hmm. I didn't really get into the music scene until my third EP is what I'm saying as well.
Right. Right.
I wanted to talk about that actually, because when you say Baltimore music scene, the thing that pops in my head is like the auto bar, punk shows, metal.
Well, that's the scene that we were in.
That's the scene that we were in. So yeah, I want to hear about the Baltimore pop scene. Like, what does that even look like?
It's not that much different, except that like it's still the same venues, like Zen West and the Record Theater and everything like that. It's still all the same venues. It's just like, you know, just different pop acts, like, you know, on the same venue, basically. But to elaborate more about like what I meant by that, it's just like, you know, because like when my first two EPs came out, and when all you're doing is just playing open mics, and I'm not, no disrespect to anyone who does open mics or anything like that, no disrespect, but like, you know, when all you do is just like play open mics at different local, you know, bars or different local restaurants and everything like that, it's not really that it's not in the music scene. It's just more of you're just performing for, you know, just for like a few minutes versus...
It's background versus foreground.
Exactly. I was trying to think of a way to say it without coming off as, but I think you get where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess See, the thing is like, I never hear about pop artists until they're already famous, right? Mm. So like, I have a hard time picturing a local pop show.
What is that like?
Do you, like, when you're on stage, do you have like a band behind you? Is it just like the music is playing over the system and you're singing with the music? Like, what does that all look like? Because like the only pop shows I've ever seen, there's like backup dancers and millions of dollars worth of lighting and pyrotechnics, you know? So like, what does a local pop show look like?
Pop show. Oh my gosh. Like, well, in the beginning when I was like doing like the shows at Zen West and everything like that, it started with just me and a backing track, you know, because like that's all, you know, all it was at the time, you know, starting out. But then eventually, as more people started coming out to shows, and then I started having more live musicians with me and having a backing track, you know, along with that. And it just grows each time, you know. Like, actually, my next show that I have coming up is it's gonna be my first time with a full live band. Shout out to the live musicians who decided to join the ride with me. They are super talented guys, and all, like, you know, it just makes the live sound like, you know, more complete and everything like that.
So wait. So how many guys are in your band? What how many pieces you got in your band?
So basically I got a live guitar player who's been with me since the beginning. You know, like, he actually filmed my very first music video, fun fact. Shout out to him.
Cool.
You know, I got a live guitar player, got a live bass player now, got a live drummer, but we still got the synth pop elements from, you know, the stems, you know, from the studio. We still play with that. You know, just get a good mixture of the recordings mixed with the live, you know, live band sound and blended all together.
Got you. So you got your basic band set up. You got a bass player, a guitar player, and a drummer, and then you got your backtrack, which is kind of all your synth stuff going through the PA or whatever, and you guys can just kind of rock out. So are all of them, they play into like in-ear monitors? They got like click tracks in their head or something, or how do they keep up with the
background? Yeah, basically what you said, Dan. You know, and actually, like, you know, one of the one thing that we all have in common is that we all love the band Linkin Park. And that was like, you know, one of the things that, you know how like Linkin Park and like they used to do that a lot, you know, back in the day. Like they would, like with Mr. Hans, like, you know, DJing. And then they all play through, like, you know, the track and everything like that. I always thought that was so cool when I was a kid, and I never understood, like, you know, how they did it until I got older, and I was like, oh, this is how, like, you know, how it works and everything like that. So,
are the guys in your band, are they wearing headphones, or like when you play a show, how are they keeping up with?
Well, so this is our, like I said, like the next show is actually gonna be my first time with the full backing band, but with rehearsals, we basically just listen to the backing track with our in-ears. That's how, like, we rehearse and everything like that. And it's a cool way, like, in-ears go a long way. It really do go a long way, you know.
No. I think in-ears are freaking the most recent revelations in musical performance. I think are in-ear monitors. Like we the last time that we recorded, me and Tez's band we're in now, we put in-ear monitors in Tez live.
I fell in love.
So he didn't even have to wear cans. He didn't have to wear the cans, man. We put in-ear monitors in him, and he just exploded live. It was so much better than, like, having your headphones on and being, like, you know, like, messing with your cord while you're, like, doing your thing. Killer, dude.
It's a completely different field, man. That shit was awesome.
Yeah.
I fell in love, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you guys this, though. Like, one of the shows I had at Zen West, August of last year, I mean, that was, like, one of the only times I did not have my in-ears. And because I cannot hear myself, I lost my voice halfway set.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. I was like, say it like this the entire time. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
So that's why I love my in-ears. I love that, because I just never want to go through that again.
Cool. All right, man. So now you've got yourself a couple buds for a live band. So you've got some energy on your stage now. You've got your backing behind you, you know? So you're in a pretty good spot right now, dude. Like, you can play anywhere right now and kill it.
Well,
you
know, we got a bunch of shows lined up for this year, which I'm super excited about. You know, more of out of state shows like DC and Pennsylvania, you know, which I'm excited about. As you mentioned about, like, you know, having, like, you know, my buds and everything like that. I mean, like, I haven't felt that way, like, since, because I was once a band member before I went solo. So cool having a full backing band perform with me, because even though they're my backing band, I treat them like my band members. Because
hell yeah,
I treat them like my band members. Because
hell hey, yeah, dude, you better shit.
I was once a band member, so I know what it's like. I was a band member. That's like when people. I remember a total side note to this. Like, I just remembered like this one musician in the music scene was like saying, "Hey, can you check out my band? Like, I know that isn't your genre, but I kept trying to explain. It's like, dude, I was a band member at one time. Just because I do solo pop music doesn't mean I don't listen to your style of music. Are you kidding me? I was in a pop punk band."
Yeah, I was gonna say I watched your little the documentary video, the Driven Pat Rennie story. I was watching that earlier. Yeah, and I heard that you. I don't remember. I think it was like one of the guys that you've worked with was talking about how you used to be in a pop punk band.
Yeah, I was a band member at one point. Yeah.
Well, look.
So is it safe to say that none of these guys that you're playing with now were your band members?
No, none of them. No.
Okay. So now you're in this specific place. So where? Oh, hold on. Before I even get there, I know I usually talk a lot of shit. But I want to give props to Jay, because Jay was the singer of a band, which is who I was kind of talking shit about a moment ago, you know, don't be that guy, you know, like the band is super fucking important for your life, you know, or whatever. And Jay was the singer of the band, but he was always like one of the band. I can never recall Jay being a singer. Like the singer, because quote unquote.
I feel, and I'm a die on this hill, whether I do it alone or not. But I feel, and I think we were spoiled in the situation. Like Jay told you, we used to live together. You know what I'm saying? That's where Club 937 come from. It was the three of us and one other, and it gave us an opportunity to not just be a band, but we were fucking brothers.
And yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's what caused my band to break up, and what what made me want to go solo was, I mean, yeah, we were friends, but we weren't like, we didn't really
have weren't brothers.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Because you get to a point where, you know, a lot of these bands, you hear it all the time, man. It's like the cliche thing, you know, this the drummer didn't like the keyboardist or whatever, and their tour ended early because the band wasn't getting along and stuff like that. So it's important that while you're at a level where, you know, and I've seen your stuff. I know you got, I saw the picture when you did your record release, and the place was packed.
Yeah.
When you're at that level, you know, it's important that y'all become tight now, so when you reach the next level, there's no questions about anything, there's no concern about anything. If you guys disagree, you can disagree, and it be, that's what it is. It's just a disagreement. It's not a life-altering situation because y'all didn't agree on anything, you know what I mean? These people that get in these bands, that's it. Is this, I know you're a good drummer, so you're in my band. I know you're a guitar player, a great guitar player, you're in my band. But we have no connection.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. Drummers and guitar players are dickheads also.
You know, like, first of all.
Look, speaking as a guitar player and you as a drummer, like, we are also part of the problem, Tez. We're not part of the solution. Drummers and guitar players are notorious, hard maniacs. First of all, you know, like,
back me up on this. I'm one of the sweetest you will ever meet in life.
You're nice, Tez. Right? You're nice.
Thank you.
You're sweet enough, goddammit.
Jay, you know? I'm
a sweetheart. On the back if you want. You're a sweetheart, all
me
right?
Me and Jay spent a lot of time together. I know Dan, me and Dan know each other for a life, but me and Jay spent a lot of time together, and I'm a sweetheart, dude. Like, you know?
Look, that's fine. I agree, you're a sweetheart. I'm trying to give Jay an applause. Jay, give yourself an applause. Just do it, goddammit.
All right, cut it off. Cut it off.
He's about to clap.
That's enough for that.
That's it.
Yeah. No, I mean, look. Thank you for being a singer that cares, man.
I did care. I mean, part because, what Tez says, we were brothers, and also because I don't know. I just felt like as a member of the band, I should also, you know, it just because the only thing I use is a microphone doesn't mean that the only thing I should carry is a microphone.
You were Tez's drum tech.
And, I was Tez's drum tech.
And our singer. And our singer, basically, is what you were, you know, like, so you know, like that goes a long way, man. So
the only time I
stick up for your boys, bro. Those are your boys right there, man.
The only time I ever regretted that part of myself was when we played the Velvet Lounge and I carried your cab up the stairs to the Velvet Lounge with a torn rotator cuff.
I'll never hear the end of that one, you guys.
But at the time, I didn't realize that my rotator cuff was torn. Because it had just happened the day before, and I was just like, oh, my shoulder kind of hurts.
I think the homie guy on the synopsis.
I can't lift my arm above my head. Is that okay?
I think to just bring all this craziness together is we feel, the three of us feel, that it is how they, and you said it, they're like, y'all are just a band. Like, but grow with these guys. That's my advice to you.
Yeah.
Is we're gonna ask questions and have conversation all night, but grow with these dude. I'm telling you, man, look at us, dude. Look
respect
at
us. Band, bro.
We're old head.
Respect like, the band.
We're old in the game, but these are my home. Grow with them, man. It's nothing like it.
Yes.
We're like testicles, man. You know?
We stay hanging.
We're just a part of you, bro. We're just a part of you now.
That's what I'm trying to say about, you know, when I was a band member. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. It's just like, I look at bands in today's music scene and, you know, you could tell, like, which ones are sticking around, which ones are breaking up, mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You could just tell. You could tell by the mm-hmm. Chemistry and everything like that. And, you know, mm-hmm. I knew that my band was going to break up around that time. I knew, like, even though my 19-year-old self, what I would tell my 19-year-old self is, like, you know, don't be in a band just because you love performing, you know, and you love playing at the record. You love playing at all these venues and everything like that. Because in the end, they're not your brothers and you're not, you know, like, tight. It's going to fizzle. And that's what happened, you know?
Yeah.
It went to a part where it was like, I don't want to be in this band anymore. And then ever since then, I became a solo artist. And I've been a solo artist.
Were you the first to leave?
I was, actually, you know, so.
Good for you, bro.
Because you weren't feeling it. You wasn't feeling it.
I was basically leaving a toxic band, basically. So that's basically how it was.
Dude, toxic bands are, they're a wild ride. They're a fun ride, you know, but they burn out fast. I've been in one. I was in one, man.
Which one, Dan? Which one? Who you talking about? Who you talking about, cuz?
Well, probably the one that you were not in, you know, most likely, seeing as how me and you are still villains, you know, probably the one that Tez was not in, you know,
I gotta say this though, because like, you know, when we're talking about like leaving a band to do your own thing, everything like that, it's just like, people thought just because I, you know, was in a popular band, because we played shows at the record and all the other stuff, like, you know, that when I went solo, it would be easy going for me and everything like that. But that wasn't the case in all. Reality hit, like, I was like, wait a second. I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. Because, like, one of the guys who was booking our shows at Auto Bar, at Record, there was another one who had six, you know, who had, you know, context to, like, you know, the studio, like, and one whose sister was like doing our photography. So then once the group broke up, I was like, wait a second, I'm all by myself, like, what am I supposed to do, you know? So
yeah,
when you don't have those connects anymore, it's like, that's why when I'm saying that it wasn't until my third EP when I, you know, was you know, actually like doing what I'm doing now, like, I genuinely meant that, you know. So
were you scared to go solo?
I absolutely was. I was really conflicted at
were you
I was really conflicted at the time. I was really conflicted because a part of me just like was like, man, like, I was young, I was a lot younger, and I was like thinking, man, being in a band is fun. Going solo is lonely. So like,
yeah, it is
for sure.
It
yeah,
is.
So sure, I was is. Trying to find other bands at the time, but couldn't find the right. I was so picky finding band members because it was just like, you know, your music is, you know, everything. You want to make sure you have the right band members to crystallize that sound. And I've had a few projects here and there that were never at the same category that my band was. But it wasn't the confidence of becoming like solo, like legit commit to being a solo artist was when I auditioned for America's Got Talent back in 2014, and I was like, oh my gosh,
that's real, bro. Yeah. That's real.
Did I miss that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. At first I heard of it. So how was America's Got Talent? How did it go?
It was not how I expected it to be. I did not make the cut, you know, so I unfortunately did not get to perform from the celebrity judges or anything like that, but it was still one of those things where I could say, oh yeah, I was on, you know, I auditioned for that show. That was cool. But made me go like, after that, it made me go like, okay, what am I supposed to do now? You know, I don't have a band. I don't have any connections to do shows or anything like that. I don't have, you know, a studio. It's like, what am I supposed to do now? And then, you know, basically I just started singing at open mics until eventually I had people that, you know, heard me at open mics and then was like, hey, I got a studio. You want to start, you know, record and everything like that. And it led to me make my first few EPs and then the world shut down. And then, you know, after when the world shut down, and I basically repeating what I just said earlier, went to a new studio and here we are today. Yeah. So,
well, we've made it to where we're at. He's got the band. He survived COVID. He kind of journaled his way through COVID and made some fucking bomb material.
Okay.
Now he's getting his recognition coming out of the scene. So, okay, this is where we go to the future. Like, here we are. The restrictions are lifted.
I got one more question about the present. About your most recent album, Driven.
What's up?
Just going back to that documentary YouTube video thing. You did your record release and you dropped the album on your birthday.
Yeah.
Damn.
So you played your record release on your birthday?
That's awesome.
That's some thug shit.
I'm pouring another one, bro. I'm pouring one for that.
That's one. That's some thug shit.
That was probably the best one.
Was it 30? Wait, was it 30 years old?
31.
31. Yeah. It was just this most recent birthday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. April last. Yeah.
No shit. Dude.
Okay.
That's
what was it like?
That's killer right there. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man.
What was the show like?
Oh my God. It was the biggest show of my life, actually, because I remember my high school days, like watching bands like have their album release shows at the record. So just to have an album release show at the record just meant so much to me because it was always been on the bucket list ever since I was in high school. So, but seeing the crowd and seeing how many people really come out to see me, like there's no better feeling than that, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So wait, so Record Theater, man, I've been there a million times, played there a bunch of times.
I was about to say, you want to know how old we are. We were around for the first go of record. It shut down. Now it's back open. And here we go again.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, most we clubs, are yeah. old.
I've been through two generations of most fucking clubs that anybody. Man.
Still waiting. No, Fletcher's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Fletcher's was my first venue.
Keep waiting.
Dude, Fletcher's might come back. Who knows?
Sonar might come back.
It ain't going to do it.
Sonar? Yeah. Sonar was incredible, dude.
You know why inner city Baltimore won't come back?
Because
there's a very great chance that you could die going to a show. And the city's already struggling.
Man, yeah, but like back in the Thunderdome days, which is probably before Pat Rennie's time.
That was the worst.
That was the worst fucking area of Baltimore. Listen,
and we stayed up there
all the time.
Think about then how bad it was then, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's way worse. Bro, I went to the same block that Thunderdome is on. I went to go talk
Brooklyn,
to a
right?
customer.
Brooklyn, yeah, Brooklyn, Baltimore, right? Yeah, Brooklyn, Baltimore, yeah.
I was across the street from the Thunderdome, and this was probably like 3 years ago. I was across the street from the Thunderdome. I watched a guy, broad daylight, I'm talking to a customer. I watched a guy walk up to another dude and punch this dude dead in his mouth and a riot.
Let's put it this way
during my wild days, Brooklyn was my spot.
Yeah, dude. So Brooklyn has always been one of the buttholes of Baltimore. Yeah. Man, Brooklyn,
Baltimore that was good to us in the music scene doesn't exist anymore. We have Max and Essex We had, bro, we
there's still Autobar. There's still Autobar. There's still Ram's Head.
But we had, we had.
Sidebar's coming back.
We had Autobar. We had Fletcher's. We had Thunderdome.
Brass Monkey.
We had,
Brass Monkey. Yeah, dude. Everybody remembers. It was a terrible place.
Oh, it was horrible.
Terrible fucking place.
We were about to jump the owner. Remember, we was about to jump the owner.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. He wasn't trying to pay us.
Most people jumped that owner, bro. Like, he was that kind of owner. You know, he was that kind of owner.
Oh,
all right. But look, Pat, I want to get into the future, man. So now you are where you are in your scene.
Yeah,
you've got your shit together, right? Where do you want to go, man? Like, what's your plan for moving forward? You know, 5 years, whatever. Right,
so my current plan for 2024 specifically is like targeting all the out of state shows, like I said. So for the future, you know, after those like out of state shows, like it's just to continue branching out, you know, because like I feel like I'm in the place in my life where I've like done so many hometown shows and everything like that, and like everyone who came out to support me, like I've all been so loyal and I'm very grateful for all that. But now it's like I feel like I'm at a place in my life where all these other cities, like, you know, from out of state, like deserve, you know, to hear what I have to offer. And, you know, like, you know, so that's the goal.
So where do you want to go? You want to do East Coast? You want to do West Coast? Where do you want to go?
All of it. East Coast, West Coast.
All of it.
Yeah. Like Austin, Texas, San Diego, California, you know, Orlando, Florida, like, you know, anywhere that like will let me perform, I'm gonna take it. Basically,
you have the style.
You need a style, tour. Bro. That's a tour, exactly. Bro. That's a tour. Yeah. Is what that exactly. is. Yeah.
Are you trying to get picked up by a label or?
That would be nice, but I mean, like, you know, if I could do it all independently, that'd be great too. You know, so. But I actually am going on a mini tour this summer, which I'm super excited about. So
that's cool.
What's your mini tour? What are you doing?
So we're kicking off in Pittsburgh, and then we ended in Maryland. I forgot where the other cities are, but it's really cool because I've never done something like that before. So I mean,
how many dates on the tour? What do you got, like 5 days or 3 days?
A few days, like I think 3-4 days. I gotta look back at the group chat and everything like that for the guy who you know invited me out to do shows cool. with him. But my first experience doing out of state, I remember I did a show in Nova a couple years back, and that was like one of the coolest things ever, is because like even though it wasn't like at a venue or anything like that, it was like more of like just a Halloween festival at Nova. It's cool performing in front of people in Northern Virginia who don't know who the heck you are, and that was like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, because you have to win them.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's a clean cut chance to win them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your art speak for itself, because they don't know you. They don't know your name. They don't hang out with you. It is you are there. You are there to perform. So your art speaks for itself, and that is it, bro. So when you win them people, man, it's one of the greatest feelings in the world.
Absolutely.
One of the best feelings in the world, man.
Also, man, like you were talking about your birthday party show and how it's the best thing ever. Like, honestly, man, hometown shows, they are exhausting. Oh, because then like not only am I performing in the band, but I'm also like kind of like hosting all of my friends at this event that I'm supposed to play at in like, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. So I'm just like running my yapper all night, like trying to like, you know, keep the pace going. Then I go on stage and perform. Then I like rage all night after I perform. And then I'm just like wiped after. Like something about going out of town, you just kind of get more internal and you're just kind of like, it's more dedicated to what you're going to perform and like how you can move the room around you and then see what you get from that. You know, like that's like out of town or big shows, you know, is like,
I was always more comfortable in the out of town shows where nobody knew who we were. I was always more nervous to play in front of people I knew.
I could see that.
More nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, like, part of it's nerve wracking because, like, you know, you can catch shit about it if you bomb.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone can hit you up after, like, yo, you like, you completely, like, died, you know? And it's like, shit, you saw that.
But the absolute worst was, like, the absolute worst was, like, in the very beginning when the only people at the shows were people you knew.
People you knew.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, no, you know,
it just felt like band practice on a stage.
I love that. I love that. I can't
stand it, man.
I don't know, man. Like, dude. If I played a show now and there was like five people there, right? And I'm like, you know, 40 years old, then I'm absolutely going to, Tez, you're in my band. So I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry to tell you, bro. Like, if there's five people watching us perform,
I'm gonna still kill
I am going, I'm going straight band practice. Like, we are going to do some of the weirdest stuff.
Listen.
We are just going to jam for an hour straight.
There's a chance of that in every show you play. There's a chance of that here. There's a chance of that when we go to Philly or on Saturday.
But there's a chance of that everywhere. Dude, I kind of love that. I kind of love it. I know it sounds weird, but I've been doing it for a long enough time. Like, in the beginning, you're like, oh my God, no one's here to see us. What are we going to do? But now, if like no one's here to see us, then what could we possibly do?
It's because,
you know, and, you know, and it's like, listen, that's the new perspective on it.
The five people that come to see you play, and Pat, remember,
I am about to just, yeah, I'm going to destroy five people tonight.
They come to see you play. They come to see you play when you're up. They going to come and see you play with them down.
That's fact.
Them five people, I'm telling you, man, them five people are going to save your life because. Yeah.
That's facts.
They've been there, and they don't. They support your music. They don't love your music. They support your music. They are there.
No, dude. For you. Even if it's five people, wait. What? Even if it's five people you don't know. Even if it's five random people, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, dude. Five people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people. Like, if I can get to the point that it's just projecting what I've got going on. That's the entire point of this whole thing. Well,
let me clarify here. All right. The reason why it was the worst for me is because, one, we were in a metal band. So our music was loud, right? And there were long songs. So I'd be screaming my guts out for like 7 to 9 minutes.
Oh my God.
And then we'd stop, and all there was like it was like, yeah, they were there, and I love them for being there, and I love them for supporting the band, and yes, thank you for coming out to the show, but fuck, the silence was just so loud.
Oh my God.
yeah
Yo,
all I ever heard was just like,
exactly.
2000.
That's all I ever
2000.
Heard
to 2006, I'm going on record. Record me saying this. 2000 to 2006 was some of our strongest years because that crowd that followed us to the end sober of community, the earth, man. Bro.
Yeah, dude.
We owe so much to the sober community, man. They followed the shit out of us, dude. And there was no, there was no TikTok, we were torn no up, Facebook, dude. We were torn no, up, dude. There was no none of that, dude. And these people came to see us at every junction.
Those poor bartenders, bro. Those poor like, bartenders.
That one.
We're gonna bring a whole crowd of people, like, ordering water, bro.
A lot of sprites,
man. Yeah. A lot of sprites,
we had
dude.
The most, we had the most head banging funeral that we played ever. Like, it was killer, son. Like, people, like, those years, 2000 to 2006, it was
wild times, man.
Yo, it was the sober community, man. It was the sober community.
I guess so, man. To sobriety. I can't cheers to it. I can't fucking cheers to it. That's my problem. That's my issue. That's my issue. You know, that's my issue.
Oh my gosh. We got off topic with Pat. Pat, I told you, had you listened?
No,
this is what we do.
I'm enjoying this podcast so much, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Music is the conversation.
Thank God someone is. You know, I'm glad someone is.
Music is the starter. That's great. But we just, you know, we just, it's conversation.
Nah, that's
it's conversation, bro.
And we share that thing in common. We're sharing our experiences in the music scene, and it was like song together, just sharing our
yeah.
That's the cool
yeah.
thing about that. Yeah, the, you know, Pat, what I've learned from you so far as a guy outside of my knowledge base of what I know, is that the struggle is the same.
Absolutely.
That's kind of what I'm getting from you, man. Is like you still got to build up. The clubs are still going to be there. You got to just like kind of pave your way and go out there and stretch yourself out, man. So I definitely wish you on getting out of town. I think you're totally going to dig it. And it can spread. It can spread super easy, man. If you get to the right people, like next thing you know, you're East Coast.
You up there.
Next thing you know, you're Midwest. Yeah. And then next thing you know, you start going out West Coast. And then that's a different world. West Coast is a completely different
I'm going to tell you, man, you over Finelli, you made it, bro.
Absolutely.
Let me know if you make your way to Ohio.
And here's the thing, too. Yeah. This is so cliche, but it's like, you know, I'm just telling the truth. I mean, like, I didn't name my album Driven for nothing. You know, it's just like,
That
was the point about when I made that album. I just like wanted to show that anyone could do anything that they set their minds to and everything like that, you know, so. And it's true. I mean, the struggle is real. And I think that the struggle was I definitely feel a lot of pressure a lot of times because, like, you know, I'm not in a band. I'm a solo artist. So it's just like, I definitely feel a lot more of that pressure, too, because it's just like the ticket sales, the promotion, all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just me, you know? So I do feel that pressure sometimes, like, you know, like being a solo artist. But as Dan says, like, despite the music genre, or if you're in a band, or if you're a solo artist, the thing is, we all are, you know, we're all in this together, you know, we all like, similar, but different stories at the same time, you know?
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah.
It's about the music, man.
The struggle is the same, bro. At the end of the day,
it's about the music. It's about music. You know? And we have to believe we're artists. Music is our paintbrush.
We also just got to love it too. If you don't love it, then don't do it. No,
this ain't a get paid quick kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you about, because I had no idea that there was Maryland Music Awards.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm nominated.
I never knew exactly. And Pat was nominated. So Pat, break us down. Because Jay didn't even know. I never knew.
Yeah.
I never knew. There's Maryland Music Awards. Never knew. So, first of all, congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you.
Then, how did that come about? Like, did they discover you? Did you discover them? Like, who found who?
All right, so like I've always known about the Maryland Music Awards, like, you know, like since the open mic days and everything like that. I've always heard of it, but I've never, you know, became nominated until this year. So like I basically saw a post on Facebook about, like, you know, people posting about the Maryland Music Awards, and then I just basically was like asking people to please nominate me, you know, and everything like that, just like word of mouth, like, you know, through Instagram, Facebook, all the socials, like, you know, hey, like, you know, I'm here about the Maryland Music Awards, like, can you please vote for me as best pop artist? And then, you know, they ended the voting, you know, end of, like, you know, literally like the end of last year. And then, like, when they announced the nominees, I looked up and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm nominated for best pop artist. So it was like the best feeling ever. Like,
that's awesome, man. That's awesome, dude. That's so cool.
Broke some barriers on this show, man. So congratulations on that, man. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal to say you're nominated for best pop artist. I mean, fingers crossed I win, but like they're gonna have a big ceremony at Rams Head Live in May, you know. So that'll be really exciting to bring home the trophy. So that would mean so much if I won. You know, but like, I mean, I've always known about it since my open mic days. And now that, you know, actually being a nominee and actually, like, you know, participating in the Maryland Music Awards, like, that means so much, you know, because it shows that people really do care and people, you know, really come out to support me and they really vote for me. So, like, that truly means so much. So, shout out to everyone who supports me. Shout out to them because they deserve that.
Big shout out to the Maryland Music Award, man.
Absolutely.
I didn't even know that shit existed, dog.
They got a whole website and everything.
Crazy, man.
That's wild, dude.
You just opened us up to some whole other shit.
It's broadcast on TV.
Yeah.
Is it?
Public access. Got to be public access, but.
It's on TV. How long has it been going on?
That's just going to be on channel like 3, you know?
a couple years. Has it been going on for a while?
I think it started in 2014, I think. So
2016. Damn, 2016.
Oh, okay.
We were old in the scene. Hey, man. Still, man, that's a big deal, dude.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that, bro.
Dude, it's incredible, man. Thank you.
They have to tell you beforehand.
Do you need a hype squad for your for the award show?
He needs a band. Mama, I'm sorry for that one. He needs a band, and the 10 Roars is it.
No. He should just bring Dan and Tez as your bodyguards. I don't know, whatever. Make some badges. I don't know. It's the Maryland Awards. Just make some shit up. And bring us to the award show.
Let's all go.
Tez, I have a pink suit. I bought a pink suit. I'm down.
Yeah, you got a reason.
I got a pink suit.
Got a reason to wear that pink suit.
Totally.
Yeah, we
totally
got a reason.
Yeah,
I push people over. We getting in there, but like
that, I want to work security on it. I think that'd be dope.
Guys, we need security guards for night. Cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I got a shot for my outfit.
Jay.
Yep.
Dude, Jay, do we have what song are we going to listen tonight of Pat Rennie?
We got the whole Driven album pulled up. So
we're gonna let Pat pick the song. Pat, you gonna pick a song that we're gonna listen to tonight as your spotlight song. So announce which song you want, and Jay will do the rest.
So my spotlight song, because it's been an official year since, you know, the lead singles release, the music video, Let's Play Is This Goodbye, you know, for the 1 year since the premiere of the music video. I think it's so appropriate.
I'm glad you picked that one, man. That's the one that I've been studying. Jay, go ahead and let it rip, buddy.
Here we go.
Goodbye.
turn back time. Can't get you off my mind. No matter how hard I try. You say you miss me, but your actions they say otherwise. Tell me right now, tell me right now.
Can we, can on the request of the host, Jay, before you shut that down, on the request of the host, I need, like, hit me with like 30 seconds of another song. Because I heard that one already. Hit me with something else. I just need to hear a couple seconds of it.
Couple seconds?
Okay.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Let's see. Which one? Let's see.
Jay, you pick. Jay, you pick. Yeah, you pick. Yeah, fuck it. You pick. Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Give us the sample.
Let me ask my question. Because I want to, they go straight into it. I want the ones that go straight into it. I don't want to hear like talking intro. And I want to hear songs that go straight into it. So which ones are those? And then Jay pick from those.
Man, just let Jay pick, dude. God damn it. Just let Jay pick. Stop making it complicated. Jay pick one.
You made it complicated.
Go for it.
Jay pick a song.
All right. Well,
all right.
Apple Music has three singles listed here, or I guess three main tracks. So I'm going to go with Empty Highway.
That's my favorite song off the album, actually.
Okay, cool. Drop that shit, Jay.
Taking it back when we first met last summertime. Taking it back when you were the only person in my life. Did it make sense to set me free? Did it make sense for you to leave? Did it make sense? Fight or flight, you should be mine. And it's so quick, but you didn't care to try. It's so unreal, I shouldn't feel the emptiness of you not by my side. On this empty highway, I've been driving all night looking for answers. On this empty highway, I've been driving all night looking for answers. Thinking about when we first staring at each other's eyes. Thinking about when we confessed everything that we felt inside. Was it worth giving up on us? Was it worth being out of touch? Was it worth it? Fight or flight, you should be mine. And it's so quick, but you didn't care to try. It's so unreal, I shouldn't feel the emptiness of you. First met last summertime, taking it back when You were the only person in my life. Did it make sense to set me free? Did it make sense for you to leave? Did it make sense?
Oof. Okay. Woo. All right. All right. So, yo. Dude, I hear so much of like Paramore first.
Nah.
Then I started hearing Linkin Park, right? Like, nice. I started hearing this Chester Bennington style, like, vocal patterns. And then towards the end, I started to get into like Fall Out Boy, like pop hardcore type shit. And dude, I'm telling you, man, this band that you got, like whoever these dudes are, like that's going to be a game changer. Absolutely. For you.
I love how you say those influences because sure. I love all those bands. And like I said, like, you know, when people like, you know, think that I don't listen to that type of music, I'm like, guys, I was a band member at one point. You could ask me.
Absolutely, oh, man. Yeah. Like all I hear Blink 182 like all the way. You know, I know it. Dude.
Through both, I want to write pop punk covers of both those songs.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Both those songs are my favorites to perform live because the crowd gets so into it. I'll never forget the very first time I performed "Is This Goodbye." I remember seeing a mosh at the record. I was like, wait, people are moshing to "Is This Goodbye?"
Yeah, man, dude. You put the breakdown in a song. You even had the breakdown part where the whole thing goes, bow, 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 bow. I'm like, that's a breakdown, dude. That's a breakdown. Exactly. Like, absolutely, positively, that's
what
that is.
The reason why I wanted Jay to play the other song, I picked up on this early. And this joint and the second joint Jay played, it's that you have this vocal thing, then you let the music play. Then you have the vocal thing, then you let the music play. So we don't really get the mesh of your vocals over the music. And I think that that's what's going to kill it for people. When you start mm-hmm. putting the vocals on the music, bro, because it's just, think about it. Again, we come from a metal background.
Right.
But the metal dudes are on that and the band is doing the same thing.
Right.
And I think that's probably what we expect, but your music is like your lyrics, forget about it. You already done that. You did right. that. And your music is good too. Your music is awesome.
Thank you.
And you and your producer, y'all doing a hell of a job, man. A hell of a job.
I
just want to hear your lyrics on the music. I want to hear them on the music, bro. I could tell it's coming. It's coming.
You mean like live band stuff? You mean on like guitar and drums and that? Or what do you mean?
No, we'll like when the music back. Gets big.
Yeah.
Like when it gets big, you know what I'm like saying. Singing on you know top of that instead of like especially in Empty Highway, a lot of the singing was in the quieter parts of the music.
Right.
And then when the music got loud, there wasn't really any singing.
Any singing, yeah. And I think that when the music gets loud, bro, that's your chant. That's your, like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. Like, that's your moment. Sorry, I went there. My apologies, I went there.
Right.
But like,
right. Just get all aggro on it.
Fuck you, bitch. But
you ruined my life.
His music, your music has, your music and your lyrics have that. But for some reason, like, you're keeping them apart. And like, I'm telling you, don't keep them apart because you got it. It's already written. Just don't keep, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I got you.
Jay, you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I just got to you, bro, for the next album. Wait for that, I guess.
I just want the Linkin Park guitars and like the DJ scratches and shit in it or something, like you know, like some shit like he's about to get it. This shit's blowing up right now, man, because like the 90s, the early 2000s are gonna be the next hip thing, man. The 90s are like
The 90s have been rocking for a while now.
I love
so.
The 90s.
Yeah, no, we've been disrespected so hard, dude. I can't.
we've been being disrespected for a while as 90s kids. We've been
so disrespected, dude, with the clothes and the you know, Target trying to bring
the
back.
The early 2000s are coming, Tez. The early 2000s are coming next. We were around for that, too. We were around for that, too.
I don't want no part of it. There was no fashion since then.
Dude, let's lightning round Pat Rennie.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Prestige Worldwide.
The lightning round.
Ah, Pat Rennie, welcome to the lightning round. So, if this is your first time, what I'm getting ready to do here is I'm gonna give you a bunch of quick questions. Quick questions require quick answers. Okay. Yeah. So don't overthink it. It's not, there's no right or wrong. It's just at what all. You feel, you yes, know, sir. And it's just kind of it's a getting to know you on a personality type.
Personal.
Level. All right. So I've got a whole batch of some new ones. So let's see what we've got.
All right. I'm ready, Dan.
All right. Who will win the Super Bowl?
The Ravens.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jay, that was, come on, Jay.
That was the easy one. That was the,
Jay. Hand clap that, bro.
That was the throwaway question.
I was clapping my real hands, Tez. Couldn't hit buttons. My hands were busy.
Okay. All right. Good. Yay, Baltimore. Yay, Baltimore. Okay. Green chili or red chili?
Red chili.
Okay. Freddie Mercury or David Bowie?
David Bowie.
Ooh.
Actually, Freddie Mercury. I think about that.
It's a tough. Yeah. So you're doubling back and saying Freddie Mercury over David Bowie.
We will rock you all the way.
Okay. Stadium. Huh? Okay. Stadium rock is the reason.
Okay.
Stadium rock guy. All right. I'm into you a little deeper now. Stadium rock guy. If you could create a genre of music, what would you? What would it sound like? But what would you name it? What would be the name of your genre?
Man. Electric R&B maybe.
Electric R&B.
Okay.
I like that. Right. I like that. That's all cool. Right. All right. In the similar vein, if you could name your own color, what would the color look like, and what would you name the color?
Damn.
Like I'm thinking, like in my mind, I'm thinking like Crayola box, but take it however you want.
That's a good question, bro.
I guess red and orange, and you know, I guess like something that would just like you know. Finally rhyme with orange. I can't think of it at the top of my head, but like, you know, something like that. Something that would rhyme with orange. Let's put it that way.
Pick a letter. Orange.
Orange. Porange. Orange. Porange.
Orange.
Storange.
Storange. Maybe.
So like a...
Wait, like if it's red orange. Rorange.
Rorange. There we go.
Rorange. I like
Blorange.
That. Rorange.
Blorange.
My son would love you for that, because all he does is stomp around like a dinosaur and go roar.
Okay. Good. Describe the perfect dessert.
The perfect dessert. Apple pie with ice cream.
What kind of ice cream?
Vanilla.
All right, most importantly, what kind of apple pie?
What
kind of apple pie?
Mango pie.
Because apple pie.
Mango pie from Jollibee. I take that back. If it was peach mango pie from Jollibee, that's even better.
Ooh. Okay.
Peach mango pie from Jollibee with vanilla ice cream. Okay. That's a good. That I'll take that. Describe your last workout.
Last workout, let's see, a lot of cardio on the Nike Run app.
Okay.
Nike
Run app. Mm. What's your least favorite ice cream flavor?
Least favorite ice cream. I don't really have one, to be honest.
Least favorite, bro.
They're all good.
Probably mint.
No, they're not all good. Least favorite, goddammit, Pat Rennie. No, least favorite ice cream flavor.
Mint chocolate chip, then.
That's your least favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was I'm with you. Anything mint, I hate it. I fucking hate it.
I'm not with you guys anywhere on that. No. But moving on, it's okay. It's a lightning round. No skip hip hop album. What hip hop album can you put on where you don't have to skip any songs?
Probably the Real Slim Shady album from Eminem.
The Real Slim Shady. Wait, yeah. That's the
that's one back. That's Slim
wait,
Shady.
Wait. Which one's Real Slim Shady? Shady?
I forgot the name of it. That's been so long though. But
that's
Is that the Marshall Mathers?
They call me. I'm the Real City.
That's the second back. One, right? Not
second
the
second or third. The one where he
That's
kills.
That's why they call me Slim Shady. I'm back.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one that we had booming
for like an entire summer, dude. Yeah. Jesus, that's a great record. I still good call.
The Mac 11 is Revolver and I.
Yeah, dude.
Is the world thinks. Why is the world crazy? It was this whole Y2K thing. And by the way, and sing, why do they sing? Am I the only one who they sing? Should I dye my hair pink? He killed it.
Wait, I got one more? Hold on. Well, I can do two more. Right. Screw it. Describe prom.
Describe prom? Just a lot of fun. No.
I mean, that shit was yesteryear for you.
I actually still remember it. So I remember dancing with my prom date, but looking at my high school crush the entire time. Sorry if he ever hears that.
Cool. Cool, man. Great answer.
That is an emo song in the making.
Okay. Last one. So this one is kind of an interactive one. So I want you to give us a quote from your favorite movie. And we're going to see if we can guess the movie.
Guess what's
me
from.
And Jay. And
all right. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I like
yeah.
that.
What's right. your favorite movie?
I can't remember exactly word from the, but it's like basically saying like, you know, wherever are you in this world, I'll find you.
Wherever you are in this world, I'll find you.
Is it?
It's not Interstellar.
Is it Tenet? Is it Tenet?
No.
Not Tenet, bro.
Not Tenet?
Wherever you are in this world, I'll find you.
Have you seen Tenet?
Jay?
That seems like one of them type of movie, bro.
Have you watched Tenet? Because it seems like it's something similar. You can say that for The Matrix too, bro. Jay, what do you got?
I got nothing.
No? What's the movie?
It's from an anime movie called Your Name.
Oh, there's no way dude, I would
have
gotten that.
How the fuck are we going to get that one?
It was
my
favorite movie. And then
I know, dude. Yeah, I know, dude. It's your world.
I highly recommend that movie, though. It's so good. You don't even have anime fan to like it. You know, it's so good. So
Your name.
Your name.
Is the movie. Okay. All right. I'm adding it to the list. Dude, Your Name. Congratulations. Pat Rennie, you survived the lightning round. Cheers. Cheers.
So out of these shows that you got coming up, before me, you, and Jay, when we were just shooting the shit, you said you got all these good shows coming up and everything.
Yeah.
In your next couple years, man, we want growth for you.
Absolutely.
What do you see for yourself?
I see myself being an actual touring artist and, you know, seeing myself, you know, actually, like, you know, making a actual career, like actual living. You know, I don't want to say have like that. Well, actually, I will say it in confidence, like, you know, basically being like a full-time musician and living the life, you know? So that's basically myself in a few years. Because, like, you know, every year has been, you know, the snowball effect has just kept rolling, you know, and I see it only going up from here. So
that's cool. I mean, man, you'd have just within this episode, like I said, you know, we've all did our homework on you.
And I could tell.
We three came up with something different about you. And for me, man, the fact that, and I'm not going to drop it, the fact that you were nominated for an award that I didn't even know existed, that has a lot to say about, like, just literally about your music, your content, and how you sell yourself. Because in order to get nominated for anything, I ain't been nominated since I was the ice cream scooper in middle school. And because they trusted me with I still had to be nominated.
Right.
Like, enough people had to trust me. But so what I'm getting at is enough people, you have the kind of music that reach enough people that you're nominated for something, man. That's a big deal.
It's a huge
deal. You're nominated for a Maryland. We're talking about the state of Maryland, not just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't say the DMV Awards. He said the Maryland Music Award.
Yeah. Mm.
Not just The Wire. Not just The Wire,
Nah. Not just The Wire or Silver Spring. Not just Silver Spring. You know what I'm saying? Right.
That's
not
right.
Just no, the Maryland Music Awards, man. So I with just knowing that you got nominated for that, man, keep doing what you're doing, bro.
Oh, I'm going.
Tez,
we're going to the Maryland Awards. We're
I was trying to get nominated because I was about to hit somebody up for, and be
nominations
like,
nominations are closed.
What are you trying to get nominated for? Best
for the podcast, bro. But then
best podcast. Is there an award for that?
Nope. I'm on their website right now.
No.
Well, damn it, Tez.
I'm trying. I'm not trying to use words that, you know what I'm saying, Jay got to blurt out, but people don't pay attention until you put them on the radar. You dig me? So what I'm saying is, that, you know, for Pat to do his work and get nominated, he had to put, they was on his radar. You feel what I'm saying? So he put the work in for people to be on his radar. So you don't get noticed without putting the work in for people to notice you. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So we've been putting the work in as a show. So I wasn't even trying to get nominated. I was trying to like present something. What?
I just want to wear the pink suit, Tess. I just want to wear my pink suit. I'm going with Pat Rennie. I'm rolling with Pat Rennie to the awards. Yeah, and I'm wearing a pink suit.
I'm sick, man.
Yeah,
I got a lot to you. I'm there. I just wanted to go. I wanted to go, and I didn't want to pay for a ticket the whole time. That's why I'm keeping it a stack with you. I just didn't want to
keep
pay
it real.
For a ticket.
You want me to show up?
There's some big names nominated for awards.
Yeah.
Who else we got? Who else is in for the
So I'm looking at the best alternative artist band list right now.
Okay.
Ashes Remain. Well, I'll go down the whole list. Gilbert Lee and the Ghost on the Radio. No idea who that is. Ashes Remain.
Are they Maryland?
The Witch Remains.
I don't know them.
No idea who that is. Veer. Don't know them.
Veer.
Brothers Clare.
Shout out to Veer. My designer. I'm sorry.
Pat said it. Shout out to Veer.
Shout out to Veer. Ballyhoo.
Shout out to them.
I know Ballyhoo. I think I know those guys. Yeah.
Jimmy's okay. Chicken Shack.
Surprise, surprise.
Finally.
Bumpin' Uglies.
Bumpin' Uglies.
Yeah.
And All Time Low.
I feel like I should know All Time Low.
There
sounds like someone I should
know. Yeah, they came to the
Pop
firehouse.
Punk, emo.
What do you mean you should know them? Yeah, they came to the firehouse, bro.
They're huge now.
Yeah, they're like home.
They're from Bel Air.
No, they're from Delaney.
Are they from Delaney? Yeah. I thought they were from Bel Air.
No, they went to Delaney High School.
Oh, shit.
Delaney High.
Yeah.
They came to the firehouse. Right. I know that for a fact.
Well,
Kelly Bell Band is nominated for blues.
Dude, what? We will be sure to... Kelly Bell Band. Yeah, hell yeah.
Then like seven of them die?
Dude, we will be sure to be coming to you live from the Maryland Awards, me and Tez.
Man.
We're gonna dress up as janitors and sneak in through the back.
Hey, look.
And set
all
up the mic,
say,
you know?
The whole thing I was trying to do is get somewhere to send somebody something from one of our shows, but like you can't even email them bitches. Dog. They so tight. They tight like a wedgie, homie. Like we can't do I'm trying to slide in
off,
like doo doo, homie. And
we can pull off janitors, man. We can pull off janitors for sure. Me and you.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
Record that. And record
we just come,
yeah,
just come
know,
in with the onesies and shit, be like, yeah, we're here. We'll work here, you know, and they'll let us in. We'll just go in there, sweep up a little bit, clean the place up, set up the mics.
Come on, we heard there was a huge problem in open room, so you guys we gotta assassinate that shit ASAP. So you guys need to let us in.
Oh, All Time Low is also nominated for Best Pop Artist.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, how's that?
What?
I was like, how?
And best Punk Artist.
I mean, the punk
Turnstile is also nominated for punk.
Well, dude, then Turnstile won. As far as I'm concerned,
from Maryland?
They're from Baltimore,
yeah,
bro.
Dude.
You better wake up, bro. They're from your backyard, dude. They're from your backyard. But Turnstile is a Baltimore band,
and
bro.
And of course,
for sure,
Kix is nominated for Maryland Music Icon.
We know Kix personally. Like they're not.
Yeah,
fuck them old ass dudes, man.
Kix. To the Kix Award, everybody.
Hey, congratulations to them for getting nominated. Congratulations to you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Pat, now's your time, man. We're gonna cut out here, like hopefully soon. Please, God, soon. So now is your time to thank anybody you want to thank.
to tell us where we can find you online and in person.
All that good shit.
And to, the good
stuff. I just want to thank everyone who came out, I can't even talk now. I just want to thank everyone who supports me, who listens to my music, comes out to my shows, and buys my merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be, where I am now. So you guys could follow me on Instagram at Pat Rennie, and you could stream my album Driven on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you stream your music. And if you want to come out, check out a show. My very first show for this year will be at the Millen. This episode will be broadcasted by the time the show is announced. But my first show would actually be at Maryland Day Festival, March 23rd at Power Plant. So you guys should come out to that.
That was on time. You nailed that. You nailed that.
That's cool.
So yeah.
Cheers to Pat Rennie, folks. To Pat Rennie.
Yes.
Let's give him a round of applause.
Jay, one more round of applause.
Please. Give him one more round. Right.
I think I've hit the applause button more times in this episode than in any other episode.
He's a pop artist, man.
Hey, man,
That's what happens, you know.
I will say this, man. He's a good kid. He's a good kid, man. He got his head on the shoulders, and he got direction. And, even all these kids, it's crazy, but the last couple interviews we've done,
We're literal kids.
Yes.
Yeah, kids, young bucks, man. It's all good. That's what the scene should be, man. Young people.
We've seen the direction of Pat. We've seen his record. We've seen that he got music out, and we've seen this man has been nominated for an award that we
didn't even know existed.
I didn't know that shit existed, bro. My guy is doing shit. So,
dude, we will be sure to give you, we will give you back-to-back coverage of the Maryland
All
Awards.
Day, man.
Right after we sweep up the back room, we will be sure and give you full coverage.
This is your show. Pat, this is your show to express yourself, but I'm gonna say this. By this time, Baltimore then won the motherfucking Super Bowl. You hear me?
Yeah,
right.
So could be, man.
This is us.
I don't know about Detroit. We'll have to see what Detroit does, man. Detroit is the only other one where I'm like, yo, I don't know, man. I don't know.
They got a chance.
I like the Ravens.
I'm just gonna say that, no, not if, when I win the Maryland Music Awards, though, I want to come back on the show. So
you're coming back.
You're coming
show
back
us
with
your trophy. Your trophy and bring it on down, Bring that shit on down.
You're coming back regardless, bro.
That, cool.
You're coming back regardless. All right, last words. Daniel.
Thank you to Pat Rennie. Thank you for the people listening and for getting into your local scene. All is love. And enjoy the winter for the summer is to come. Until next time.
Mm-hmm. Jesson.
Pat, thanks so much for coming out, man. It was a blast. And to everybody who tuned in for this episode, thank you so much for listening. We love you to death. Please give us a thumbs up or 5 stars or whatever you can give us wherever you're listening from. If you want to hear more about Pat or listen to his music, all of that will be linked in the show notes, as well as links to our own social media. So come on by and say hi. And with that, Tez, you're up.
Hey, I'm about to test Dan real quick. Because if he really loves me and he's my man, he know how I end everything. So listen, everybody, I want to thank you guys. I love you guys for following us. I thank you guys for being with us. Take care of one another. Most importantly, if you know me, you know my message. We got to love one another. Man, if you don't do anything else in your life, you go ahead and
support cystic fibrosis.
That's my dudes.
We're out.
I love y'all. We out of here.
Until next time. Peace.